Babes Behind the Beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie J.
G'day, it is Bowie Jane with Jess Bowen for Babes Behind the Beats on iDobie Radio. And today we have in studio Kaylee Morg, singer-songwriter, and just actually opened for Jess's band, The Somerset. Mm-hmm. So we are so excited to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Your accent is so cool. Like, sounds even more official with the accent.
Oh my God, so funny that my accent is even a novelty here. To me, I sound like a bogan for all the Aussies who know. But anyway.
But it's like she can say anything and it just sounds good,
it
right?
Sounds, like, it sounds like proper. It sounds like how it should sound.
Yes.
Like, why does it not sound right when I say it?
Right? Oh, so funny.
I know. Anyways, Kaylee, it's so good. I'm so happy to have you here. As Bowie mentioned, we just like played a show together last week and that was so much fun.
So fun.
You're amazing,
by the way. You're amazing. I was literally watching you in the crowd and I was just like, that... Like, I don't think anyone looks cooler than the drummer. For some reason, like, I always, that's just, I wish I could play the drums because I think that there's just, like, it looks so cool. And then you're like, yeah, I'm actually, like, injured. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that was you at, like, 70%.
Yeah. No joke. It really was. And then I don't know. I just have this, people call me, what is it? From the Muppets, Animal, the one that goes like it just goes crazy because like I can't help it when I get on the drums, I just like it's just something
I think
takes over.
It's weird if you don't like because I've seen there are people that are very like logical about it that are just like very you know
yes
and it's like it looks weird.
I just think it's like you got to put on a performance too, right? And it's like you know you want it to
if
look
the drummer's
cool and fun.
Hyped, like everyone's
yes
you know what I mean because I just play with a drummer
I was gonna ask you about because it was you and what's your drummer's name?
Her name's Jordan West. She's insane. We've kind of always done that. She's been in like the I mean it's just me and her but the band for like 4 years so it's just been her with like an SPD pad and she triggers the tracks and everything. We have played with a guitarist but for little just kind of like opening slots and last minute things we usually just do us because we're so used to it but she's really badass. Like she's a one-man band.
Yeah.
Like,
did you meet her in Arizona or out here in LA or how
I
do you guys know each other?
LA. I met her for my first headlining show ever. Like, I was just recommended her from, like, my label at the time. It was just kind of like, you know, I know somebody that knew her. And it's funny because we just, like, it was a very, like, work type of relationship at first because I was 19 and she was, like, 27. So, like, very different phases of life.
Right, yeah.
And now I'm 24 and she's, like, early 30s. So we kind of, like, have this... We just went on a few show run in, like, January and now we're, like, super close because she's like, oh, you're, like, not... like a high schooler anymore. Like you're like you've matured a lot and like
is
really...
it cool do you guys have like almost like is she like a sister to you almost like in the sense of like also kind of like takes care of you
actually,
when you guys are
like
play together
surprisingly it's kind of the other way around now.
Oh yeah
but like when we first met like I had a yeah I was like I'm gonna like party and I'm gonna drink and I'm gonna just like do my thing and now like I'm sober and she's just like well you know, like, I only get to do this stuff when I'm on the road, so she'll just get, like, belligerently drunk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, I'll
so you're taking care of her now.
Oh, yeah, like, I have some stories.
Oh, wow.
But now it's like, I'm the older sister. I'm like, oh, that's, I mean, I am, like, I have a bunch of younger siblings, so I'm totally used to it. But it's very interesting, like, how that happened. And it's also nice to just have, like, consistency with a band member, because I don't think I've had that with, like, other just like different things in my career, like I've known her the longest probably than like anyone on my team.
Wow.
So it's nice to have somebody that like knows me that well. And also when you're that kind of anxiety before shows and stuff, like she knows me. She's like, all right, like pre-show shits, and, like all this, she's like, go do your thing. And like,
yeah, you want to be around people who like,
who get
you feel comfortable, who know the routine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like we will also like listen to like, I'll vocal warm up to like Celine Dion.
Oh my
like,
god!
So she'll just be like blaring it in the car. So
oh my god!
Fun.
I want to be at your pre-show warm ups. I love Celine Dion.
Well, like Chandler was telling me that you were like, oh, like I'll play with her. So I was like, yeah, we need to do that because that'd
yes
be so fun.
Oh my god!
And also, like Jordan is like, she's my number one, and I fucking love her. But she's also a busy gal, so I was like, that'd be so fun to like do something eventually.
Hello, I'm here too. I am also in my 30s and play drums.
Yeah. But she drinks,
and you'll also have to take care of me.
Yeah, I was like, I'll be the mother in that situation.
Funny. Well, we'll have to get Jordan on here at some point. And you guys can have to talk about those stories together.
The nerdy drumming stuff too that like I don't even understand.
Oh
like,
yeah, drummers once you get us going, we can't stop. So, all right, Kaylee. So I want to take it back to kind of the beginning of how you started in the industry, and Obviously, as we mentioned, like, we're both from Arizona, which I love. You grew up in Phoenix, right?
Yeah. I was going to ask you where you went to high school.
I went to Chaparral High School. Where did you
really?
Go?
I went to Barry Goldwater. It's kind of not the best.
No. So I played soccer growing up in high school. So we played all the different high schools. So I remember we had played Barry Goldwater at some point.
I think I did choir, and that's the most I saw of like other kids, because I did choir for like 10 years, but I don't know. Everyone was like, you should do badminton or something like that. And I was like, I don't know if I can
You were like,
that.
Sports is not for me. Sports is not my thing. Yeah, and no, that's totally fair.
It was cool, though. I liked it. I think it was like very different, because it was just like 15 minutes away from where I lived, but like the school that was actually like in my district was like all like the same type of kid that wore like Hollister and stuff like that.
What was that school?
That was Boulder Creek.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what it's like now, so I'm not speaking for it now. This is literally like however many years ago.
Right.
But yeah, I was just like, dang, like there's no, it's everyone's like wants to look the same and dress the same. And when I went to Barry Goldwater, like that was really cool that everyone was kind of into their own thing. And like
that's cool.
The music there was also really sick, even though it was like all hip hop. So
nice.
But it was cool. It was fun.
Yeah. So with that being said, then like you said you started in choir. Like, did you always know you loved music? And like, how did you start? You started singing in the school choir?
Yeah. I mean, I sang pretty much like my entire family is musical. Like my dad, everyone on my dad's side knows how to play guitar. So like I got a guitar when I was 10, and it was just like a passing the torch, like, okay, your turn. You know what
nice.
I mean? So it was very, honestly didn't know that like other kids weren't writing music when they were 8 and like singing. I was like, oh, I thought everyone's doing this, like we all care about this thing this much that we're just like living and breathing music. So it was not until high school that I was like, oh, like I want to do this for the rest of my life. And like I didn't realize that you can't just be like, yeah, I'm gonna be a singer, duh, like gonna go be crazy successful doing this thing. Like, I didn't know you can just like choose to do that. So when I was 8, I joined the choir, and I think I was like, you're actually supposed to be 10. I was like, please, can I join choir? So I joined, and then, it was just like, I did that, and I actually kind of started losing interest once I started making music, like in choir, because I was like, this is so different. Like, this
right.
is very much like, you know, like, ha, ha,
ha. Yeah.
It's just like doing what I wanted. So as soon as I was like 14, I was kind of like, kind of over the choir thing.
That's
so
fair.
What kind of music were you writing at when you first started writing?
When I first started writing, I actually have like, I should have brought it. I have the first song that I ever wrote and recorded.
No
it
way.
It was like, I should have brought it. But I was like 10, and it was just, once I started playing guitar, everything was acoustic, obviously, because I didn't have anything else. So I would just kind of like write dumb like love songs and stuff. I had my first crush when I was like 5, so I've always been a little romantic.
I was like, at 10 years old, you wrote a love song?
Yeah, no. Aww. I had a crush on this boy in my neighborhood, and like I wrote this love song. And then I wrote like my aunt was she's like a musician, but she was a music teacher for a while, so like she kind of took me under her wing, and like I got to record it, and I like helped her write some songs when I was 12. So,
oh my god.
It was just around me all the time for my family. Like I'm not sure I would have had the same drive to like do all this stuff and you know like think it was even possible if I didn't have the people in my family that were like, yeah, like go for it and record this love song when you're 10 years old. You know what I mean?
No,
yeah.
That's amazing.
So, it's really cool. It's fun.
And then from there, I guess, did you start posting like on YouTube? Was that the like posting on YouTube that started getting you more of like the recognition, or how did this? Yeah.
I posted on YouTube a lot. I think like that was more just for fun, because I feel like at that time too, it was like Justin Bieber blew up and all this stuff, and there wasn't like virality the same way it is now.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just want to like post and try to see if people see it. But I wasn't like trying to go viral. I was very much like covering Red Hot Chili Peppers and Sublime.
That's
and, like,
awesome.
I was just choosing songs. So
just
like,
for fun.
No one would
like,
really be YouTubing that.
Yeah.
It was really fun, and I then started probably when I was like 17, I started posting to like Twitter and Instagram, and that's kind of when I started covering like hip-hop songs. So I was covering like Gucci Mane and Chief Keef and stuff, and there's something about like the how weird that is to do like piano covers of rap songs that they started kind of doing well, and they were starting to go a little bit viral. I had a cover of a Post Malone song that he retweeted, like, so
whoa, that's sick.
It started like kind of getting some movement. I had a little SoundCloud following at the time. Like,
SoundCloud's,
you know,
like,
I mean,
that's cool.
Like,
it
was though, because at the time it's like, if you have a good little fan base on SoundCloud, they're diehard. Like, they
totally
were just anything I made, even if it was absolute garbage, which was totally the case sometimes, because it was just me and like my friends and, you know, recording in a closet. But sometimes, yeah, it was just, they were really cool. And I went from like SoundCloud to just posting like snippets on Twitter of different types of music because I wanted to make pop music, but I didn't know anyone that made it. So then I posted Medusa and literally was just like this. I wrote the song in 20 minutes, probably sucks. It's over a YouTube beat and I'm just singing into my headphones. And then it just did its thing, but I definitely like was posting a shit ton of covers on there before.
That's so wild how that happens. I feel like we've had a handful of guests that have said like they wrote something and literally the same type of thing where it's like 20 minutes and they were like, whatever, I'm just gonna put it up, and then it turns out to just blow
I
up.
Think that's how it goes sometimes. Even like now, I think as a writer in general, like having done this for this many years, like I still think the stuff that you write in 20 minutes like has this weird way, because sometimes I'll sit there for an hour and I'm like overthinking, like just trying to get it right.
Yeah.
But when it's not forced and it kind of comes to you that quickly, I found like those are usually the songs that everyone loves. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's just because it's like so natural. I think there's it's a conversational.
Yeah, there's a beauty to not overthinking it, like you said. I mean, like when you're writing that and you do it in 20 minutes, like you probably just poured your like heart and soul into something truthfully and honestly and authentically. And you did it in 20 minutes because it all just like poured out of you. And then you're like, well, I'm just going to put it out. And then that ends up being, again, people relate to that stuff the most probably. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably an element of it, like that people literally saw my bedroom and me singing into headphones. Like I wasn't like, here's my demo, y'all. Like it was literally just me singing to like laptop audio.
Whoa, that's so wild.
I think there was something about that at the time, like bedroom pop was kind of emerging.
Yeah, not too polished.
So, yeah, it was like people liked that element of indie because it was so new at the time, which is so funny to think about now because bedroom pop is a whole like genre that's been,
oh my god,
there's like subgenres within
I've actually
pop.
Never even heard that term, but it makes
bedroom
sense.
Pop. Yeah.
It's like that kind of like lo-fi pop, which is funny because like I didn't really have an option. It was just like that's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah. It literally was. Yeah.
So it's funny. Like I don't even think I could like try to recreate that if I tried, because it was just like, yeah, it was like what I literally had around me and like what I had to work with. Wow. So yeah, it was a different time for sure.
Yeah. And then I have a question about, you released a song with Hayley Kiyoko. Mm-hmm. I can never say it. Hayley Kiyoko. Mm-hmm. I love Hayley Kiyoko. So how did this come about?
I actually have never met her. I still need to meet her. I made this song. It was originally like I was at Republic Records and I just like made this track and we knew we wanted to sample Where's My Mind. So like we just made this track and like had no idea what we were going to do with it. And my A&R is like, we should get a feature on it. And literally like the next day, Hayley Kiyoko followed me.
Oh my
and so
God.
I was like, oh God, this is it. I'm going to be so annoying right now and I'm going to send it to her. So I did. And I like was totally expect, because you know, sometimes like I think that that's probably annoying, or it's just like she just followed me and I'm like, hey, but I was like, it feels
just
like,
slid into those
it
DMs.
It feels like fate. I was like, this feels like perfect timing for a reason. So I just sent it to her and she's like, oh my God, this is awesome. And she just like cut it with her producer, and I like went to the same producer and like did some harmonies and stuff, but I never had the chance to meet her, but like we did an interview together and everything.
Oh my God.
So I have talked to her and like we've talked on the phone and stuff, but it was just a really cool experience and also awesome to see an artist embrace like an up and coming artist, because that's not always the case. And
people
are very selective about features. So it was just a really cool opportunity, also because I like loved Lemonade Mouth and stuff when I was a kid. So it was like kind of seeing her on Disney Channel and like it was just a weird moment of like, whoa, that's
must have been
awesome.
A really cool feeling with that.
Yeah, like, it was really cool. Got my little Hayley Kiyoko feature, and I think it's like one of the only features I have. So it's like really cool.
Were you signed to Republic or?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So how did that all happen? Where you got signed? Right at the start.
It was really fast. Honestly, so overwhelming to like a 19-year-old, because I was working at Jack in the Box. And then I met my manager at like, he was passing through for a festival in Phoenix. And like, he just found me online because I think the Medusa thing already happened. So he was like passing through town and met me. And then like next week was like, yeah, we're going to schedule some trips out here to meet labels. And then like a month later, I did it. And then a month later, I was talking to like these labels and trying to negotiate. And then a month later, I signed.
That's so fast.
Like, no, it is. Because now that I'm in the industry, like I'm like, wow, that was fucking or freaking. I don't know if I can curse.
You can absolutely.
Yeah. But I was like, that was so fast and so insane, because I was just trying to make something happen. I had just graduated high school and like I was begging my mom for some time so I wouldn't have to go to college.
Yeah.
And it was like a 3-month period that was just so like overnight, and it was very it was a lot, because I'm very like antisocial. I'm very like, had not traveled much, had not like met any real music people, and it was like night and day of just like, okay, now I'm in it. Now I'm doing my first ever session with this guy that like had done like Britney Spears.
Oh my god!
And I was like, this is it was scary, but I was also so excited because I'd never met people that made like pop music, and I'd never been in like a real studio. So I still prefer like bedroom studios, but it was really fun.
So how many songs did, when you were going to these meetings, were you presenting like a number of songs that you'd already written, or?
I literally had like three songs on SoundCloud and then Medusa in like maybe one demo that wasn't out, and that was it.
Wow.
So it was like very much, they kind of like, you know, coming in and being like, we want to put you in rooms, like, because a lot of the demos were just like YouTube beats, like I was saying. So it was kind of like taking just like what I was doing with what I had and then like putting me in rooms. And they had a lot of trust in me, actually, now that you're saying that, because I'm like, wow, I really did have like four songs. And they were like, all right, let's sign her and put her in rooms.
Insane.
So yeah, it was, I think, I mean, it was, I feel like I did well though for like not really ever having done like a studio session and being like, okay, like now I'm going to write on a schedule, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah. Getting thrown into that can be intimidating.
Yeah. Like trying to figure it out, like, okay, now you're going to do it like Monday through Friday, like a job. It was very, I was like, oh, okay. Like I'm so used to just writing like when I'm sad or something. And I was like, okay, now there's like a strategy to it. And
yeah.
That was like, that was probably the hardest part, like trying to like be creative on
cue.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Just trying to, okay, like 12 to 5 and then you go home, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like just trying to like think about how I'm feeling like before I go in. And now it's like, you know, you do it for so long that it's like now I don't think I, like it's actually more rare that I have moments that I'm just like writing something for just for me. And I love those moments though, but it's like now just second nature to like just go in a session and be like, all right, now that I know how to like assess my emotions in a strategic way.
Wow.
Which is like so weird, but.
Damn.
And what was their strategy with you? So they got you in writing rooms, then what did they do?
They kind of, they honestly like, let me do my thing. Like they were kind of just like, we like Medusa. And we want you to like, they kind of reproduced that and made it like, it was very similar, but just kind of like touched it up to make it like a polished pop song because it was a YouTube beat. And then they were like, try to do stuff like in that vein. But at the time, like you have to think like Billie Eilish was just like barely being discovered. Like I think she had Ocean Eyes and that was
it. Yeah.
So like there wasn't a lot of like the cutting edge pop that there is now. I think at the time, like, Lorde was the last, like, really innovative pop thing, and it was still so fresh. So it was like, yeah, I kind of, I really wanted to be something like that. So it was, they kind of let me do my thing, and I think that, that was the best way to do that, because if they had given me, like, a box of, like, well, we want these sounds, we don't want this, we don't, I would have been like, okay, I don't know. You know, like, I can't be now creative on a schedule and within, like, bounds of boundaries, you know? So they kind of, I mean, that's kind of how Headcase came about, even, was just me going in and being like, I really like the Pixies. Like, I really want to do something with this. Not knowing at the time that, like, that's kind of ambitious to, like, to sample, like, a huge song, a huge band. But I was just referencing a lot of stuff that would come from, like, alternative or different spaces of music and then making them pop, which I think was what worked at that time, because there wasn't really, like, as much genre bending, I think, as there is now.
Yeah.
So it was very different in the room to kind of, we were all kind of like, I don't really know, but it sounds good. It sounds great. We don't really know what we're doing. You know what I mean? Because I think that still is like the best pop is kind of like, is that cool? Yeah, I think it is cool. What is that? I don't know. You know, like you don't know what genre it is. You don't really know like what the vibe is, but it just feels good. So that's kind of what we were doing. So
amazing. So now I want to kind of jump into, you just released your debut album, Girl Next Door.
Yes.
It's so good.
Thank you.
Obsessed with it. And you released it on Thriller Records, right? Now you're on Thriller Records, which is Bob from, is it Bob?
He's from Fearless.
From
Bob
Fearless.
Becker.
Okay, so that was our old, label was with Bob. So now you're on the new, essentially, the Thriller Records.
Yeah.
And are you loving it? Do you love it?
Yeah, it's been really cool. It's cool that I'm also like, I'm kind of like the only female act doing what I'm doing there, so it's like it's really cool to have like that focus and them also be in like a new territory with like, listen, we haven't worked with like a female pop act, and I'm like, okay, well, we're all like figuring this out and
together. Yeah.
And also because I love bands, I do love alternative music and rock music, so it felt like the best place for me to be with somebody that really understands that, because I was so tired of trying to convince people that pop punk was coming back, and like all this, like this alternative that was so nostalgic and this rock music that felt so necessary. Like people wanted to hear guitars and music again. People wanted to hear like rock and that kind of edgier stuff. So it was so nice to be in the position of like not having, almost explaining to Bob and, you know, like, actually, like maybe it needs to be like slightly in the middle of rock and pop because they got the rock stuff well. So it was just really nice to like have them hear my references and my visions, and pretty much they just like embraced me and were like, "We want you to have creative control, and we want you to
amazing." And speaking of those references and the creative control, End of My Life, I love it. That's the opening track, and also the music video for it.
Yeah, was we love the video.
We love it. I mean, I got such like. Like almost like 90s, like Natalie Imbruglia vibes.
That was the reference.
Was that the reference?
That was the reference.
Okay, we completely were both of us were watching it. I was like, this is like reminds me of Torn.
Yeah.
And
that's
but then
hilarious.
It
just so picked good. That up.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this reminds me of Torn. And then
I would have ran like further with that if we could.
Oh, it was so good.
I loved Torn.
With all the just like fast paced background, like, you know, like moving. Oh, so
it was,
good.
Yeah, it was a mixture of referencing like obviously 90s slashers, 80s slashers,
right,
with like 90s pop culture and 2000s pop culture. And so like I really wanted to, because I mean the point of the video is that obviously I'm having a birthday party that gets like crashed by a serial killer,
right?
So like the idea of like me just like jamming with these like vintage headphones and like having, I mean it was a green screen,
yeah,
but like I was like, we really need to do the Torn thing where it's like super bright lit and like everyone's behind me, because I don't think I don't think I've seen people reference that video, and like it's so good.
I literally haven't, and it's one of my favorite videos. So when I saw yours, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. I can't believe you picked that up.
Yeah, like so quick. It was like so,
I think only
like
one other person has noticed that.
Really?
They're also like, I don't know, it kind of feels like that. I'm like, no, that was a reference.
You're like, that literally was. I love it. I was literally like, I wonder if this was the reference for this, because it's so good. Plus the like, and I love the just like serial killer vibe of like literally just like tongue in cheek of like End of My Life, and you're just getting
originally I didn't know that, like I just kind of wanted it to be a horror movie, and I was like, how do I, because it's called End of My Life, so I was like, yeah, obviously, but
right,
my boyfriend was like, well, what if it's like, because I already also know the song concept being like you're scared of getting older. He's like, well, what if it's like a birthday party? And I'm like, that's the one so yeah, there's a lot of references and things like that that I'm not sure like people would obviously see without like knowing the references, so I'm glad that you picked that up. But also like certain, we reference like Buffy, and there's certain
Buffy.
Where people are like, oh, like where's the reference? And I'm like, it's usually like specific shots, camera angles, lighting, and things like that I'm not sure like you even notice as a viewer like all the time, that,
right,
how much effort is going into like the saturation and the angles and the shadows.
Totally.
So a lot of that stuff was like referencing Buffy, not so much in a literal obvious way, but in like the coloring and the feeling.
I could see that. Yeah,
so it was really fun. It's definitely like one of my favorite videos I've ever done, because of like obviously shooting a birthday party, like behind the scenes it felt like that, like it felt like a huge party,
like a huge party.
So
yeah,
it's just like we're all like running around eating cake, like
I love
spilling
that
shit.
So this was like your creative idea, you brought this to whoever ended up directing
I had like a whole treatment, which is sometimes, I mean I'm not sure, like I guess I wouldn't know like how often artists are doing things like that, but I feel like most people, like you usually have the song, you have a rough idea of vibe, and then like you get treatment sent to you.
Exactly.
But I like literally wrote this entire treatment with my boyfriend. I had reference photos, I had a mood board, because I'm just very hands-on. I'm also a very visual person, so like, I have a photographic memory, and like I'm just very like, when I write a song, I usually can see the video while I'm writing it.
Yeah.
And if I can't, then I'm like, we're not making a video. 'Cause I'll know right away like what it feels like to me. And so I have like, whether or not they use it, like, or I make a video, I'm going to make some sort of like mood board just to like have a little
visual.
That's
great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I don't know. It's fun though.
It was great that they let you do that too, that you're allowed to have such creative control.
Yeah,
I know. I was like, this is a little, we're just going to do like a 90s slasher movie in 2 minutes. And they're like,
so
all
good.
Right.
So good. You nailed it.
Go
you freaking nailed it for sure. And then another reference that I believe you've mentioned before, you, for your song Queen Bitch, was kind of after you had listened to Celebrity Skin by Hole. So are you a huge Hole fan? Because I think that's so cool. Because
I am. I think also, I not gonna lie, I had only really heard like the hits.
Right.
And then like
honestly,
two years ago, I think I went and listened to like the album Celebrity Skin, and Awful came on, and like that song, something about like, well, also Courtney's voice is just so insane. Like the music being like acoustic and kind of softer on that song, and then her like wittiness of just like like, he's so pretty, it's so awful. Like, he's so deep, like, dirty water, it's awful. Like, he's just kind of, like, all this stuff that's, like, and, you know, she says, like, they royalty rate all the girls like you. And, like, so I wanted to reference, like, the vibe and the, I guess, like, the idea of, like, the industry and how it views women, like, oh, like, you need someone to take care of you. Because I think that was kind of the vibe of, like, that song and just it being sarcastic. So I very much, like, wrote that song right after listening to Awful for like 2 days.
Wow. Yeah.
Like just kind of really going in. Because sometimes when I like things too, I want to reference them, but like I really need to like deeply understand them and understand like why they're so cool to me and like what she's talking about. So that's why I was like, yeah, I really want to reference Awful, but I want to listen to the entire album to get like in my head, like how would she approach this concept? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also knew like I wanted to have a track on the album that was cocky because I have another song, This Is Why I'm Hot, that's like a fan favorite. And I was like, I need something like that because so much of the album is kind of like introspective and a little insecure. So yeah. I was like, there's no better reference than like Courtney Love to kind of just like be like, all right, fuck you guys.
For
<I'm awesome.">
sure. That's so good. It's so true. So, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And my last question, because again, I just love all the songs on the album, but being an Arizona girl, the track Arizona Pretty, what was the references for that? Where did that all come from? Like, can you talk about that song a little bit?
That one, I guess the concept itself was, like, birthed from me just talking to my boyfriend about, I think I was in Arizona for something. I don't know what it was. I just go there often to see my mom and stuff. And then I came back, and I was like, wow, it's so interesting to me that when I'm in Arizona, like, I can kind of just go out in public, I can go do stuff and I feel like so in my element, like I don't feel insecure really there, like it's everyone's so normal and everyone's so accepting, like they're just normal. And when I come to LA, I'm like, wow, I'm not cool at all. Like all these people dress so much cooler than me. Like you go to like Gelson's or Ralph's and like there's like girls like in the coolest outfits we've ever seen, and I'm like, wow, I can't wear sweats here anymore.
No, like, it's the same in Australia, you know? When I go home, I feel comfortable. You come here and you're like, oh, I gotta wear makeup.
So right. I had this, so I kind of was like talking to him about it, and I was like, I don't know, it's like I'm just like, I mean, this sounds corny, but I literally said out loud, I feel like I'm just like Arizona Pretty. And he's like, that's a song. And I was like, okay, cool.
It's a great name.
It's a great name. Yeah. And it's relatable because what you're saying, I completely 100% relate to.
I love like announcing it at concerts because I'll just be like, yeah, the song is about being a 10 in your hometown and a 5 in LA. And then
everyone's like, yeah, everyone's I get like, it.
Yeah, feel that. So
like, I feel so seen.
But we wanted to, and then like sonically, we were referencing like Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
And, like some Hillary Duff type stuff because I lean into that cheesiness. I don't care if anyone's like, wow, like you're referencing like, it sounds like Disney rock. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so what?
Listen,
so it's awesome.
I don't care if it is. I love it then. I love Disney rock then, if that's what you're referencing.
I don't care what it is. I like it.
Yeah, you've got a great sound.
Thank you so much.
It's really great. And so I guess last but not least, you have a show coming up on November 10th, right?
November 10th in Phoenix.
In Phoenix, a hometown show. That's 3 days away. Are you so stoked? Like, tell us about.
I'm super stoked because, it is my first show there. I think I performed it, like, first Friday, which I don't know if you've been to.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's not at all a legit performance. I was, like, on the corner of the street. But, this is my first one at, like, an actual venue, and it's going to be primarily my family in the audience because I have a huge family, a lot of extended family, so it's going to be a lot of them with, like, just like trickles of fans, but
that's cute.
I feel like it's gonna be like a party because it's so that's kind of what I mean about Arizona, like something just feels so like involved there, like everyone's so nice and like embracing,
especially when they know you're from there too.
That's what I mean. Like I get to kind of talk about these songs in like I can talk about Arizona Pretty like to these people that are like, oh yeah, like we get it, we're from Arizona.
Yeah.
So it's just cool that I think I'm gonna be super like embraced by them, and I'm really excited, and I'm usually really really nervous, but like I'm really excited. Even if there's like 10 people there, I'm gonna be like, yes,
it's gonna be the best time.
Let's rock out.
Well, invite me to that pre-show Celine Dion sing along, please. And then but thank you so much, Kaylee, for being here. Everyone, go check out some tickets to that show if you're gonna be in Arizona, or you should just go to Arizona for the show because it's gonna be amazing. And Kaylee, do you want to tell everyone what your handles are that you're the most active on, so in case they're not already following you, they can give you a little follow?
Yeah, I'm just it's Morg Mommy. I really want to change it. It's terrible. It's Morg Mommy, M-A-M-I, on everything, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's so bad when you come out, like when you come out with your first password or your first email address, and you're like, oh, it's stuck with me.
I've had that name since I was 17, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys.
I actually like it though. I think it's cool.
I mean, now it's like
you gotta keep it now, I feel like.
Yeah, it's people know me for it.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, everyone go follow at Morg Mommy on all those platforms. And Kaylee, thank you again so much for being here.
There's no need to worry, I just can't breathe. It's an uphill battle just to get what I need. I've been so scared to leave the house. It's why you need
position, twist the knife inside your choking on my God complex. No in between, I'm feeling like a goddamn mess. Deep spiraling, I clench my teeth and smile. I've been stable for a while, and I've got a feeling I'm not in the clear. Chill out, it's not that big of a deal. Calm down, not all your feelings are real. Come on, bitch, get over yourself. I'm in hell, goddamn it. I'm so sorry, I can hardly look myself in the mirror. I'm so fucking weird. Come on over, I'm too sober. Get high off my tears. Must be a good day to be my dear. Just got back on my Prozac.